Good evening. I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Anchored in the Word Pastor Talk. This is Pastor Joel Porche, Senior Pastor at Anchor Baptist Church. And today we're going to be looking at a question that was actually submitted by one of our listeners last time. And the question is, how does stress impact my Bible study? How does stress impact my Bible study? I want to encourage you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. That's where we're going to start as we discuss this topic of how stress affects our walk with the Lord and our Bible study. And as you turn there, I'd like us to go ahead and start with a word of prayer. And then we will get into what I think is a really important practical topic. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity this evening to discuss a topic that I think will be very applicable to the people that are listening tonight and that will listen in the days to come. I pray that you'd help me to explain these simple principles in a way that is easily understood, that would be practical, and people can begin applying right away. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 19 is where we're going to start, and I want to kind of give you a little bit of the context of what's going on in that passage. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah has just really been running for his life, and what's going on in the chapter before is Elijah was up on Mount Carmel, and there was basically a contest between Elijah, the prophet of Yahweh the Lord, and the prophets of Baal. And in that contest, basically what happened is God demonstrated his power over those prophets of Baal. And basically Elijah ends up executing all of those prophets of Baal because they're false prophets. And after that event where God sends fire down and Elijah demonstrates the one true God's power, Jezebel, Ahab's wife, is very angry about what's taken place, and she wants to kill Elijah. And she sends him word and says, basically, you're going to be killed. You're a dead man. And so I'll pick up in verse 2. It says, Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also. If I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. When we come to this passage, as we continue reading, we won't read it tonight, but as we continue looking at this passage, what we'll see is that Elijah is really in tremendous despair. He is so discouraged that he wants to die. He wants God to take him. And you ask the question, how in the world did Elijah get into such a place like this? Elijah's a godly man. He's somebody that loved the Lord, was mightily used of God. And the reason is because he was physically strained. He was running for his life, so his body was weary. He hadn't eaten for several days, so he was hungry. He hadn't slept properly. He had just experienced this intense time where his adrenaline was pumping. Really, his life was on the line. And when all of these factors come together, a person can end up in a place where they're extremely discouraged. And that's what happened here to Elijah. And the truth is that what happened to Elijah can happen to anybody. That could actually be your situation right now. You're emotionally stressed. We have all this stuff going on with COVID-19. Some people have lost their jobs. Some people are still working, but they're not sure if their job is secure. Some people have had to take a pay cut. They're working from home. All kinds of pressures that are not normal that we don't typically deal with. And then you can throw on top of that just the things that people are dealing with in their lives. The truth is that you may get to the place where you feel just like Elijah did, where you just don't feel like you can continue on. And I want you to realize that there are actually examples of very godly people in the scriptures that found themselves in that place. Moses is an example where there was a point where he basically told God, I can't deal with this difficult group of people anymore. Just take my life. David, when we look at many of the Psalms, we see that David was at points of tremendous despair. The reason I point that out is to say that physical pressures, emotional pressures, the things that we deal with, being tired, not getting enough rest and not enough food, all of these things actually can be factors that drive a person to tremendous discouragement. And when that's going on, it does affect our relationships. It affects our relationships with the people that we're closest to. But it also affects her relationship with the Lord. The truth is that there are times when people are under tremendous pressure. They open up their Bible to read it, and they just feel like it's pointless. I can't get anything out of this. I can't focus. I can't concentrate. And when you're in that situation, the question is, how do you deal with that? So what I want to do is I want to give you some thoughts about how to handle times where you feel like that. And maybe that's how you feel right now. Maybe you don't feel that way right now, but down the road, there'll be a day when you do. How do you deal with those pressures that are really keeping you from having effective fellowship with the Lord, time of study in His Word? How do you deal with that? The first thing I want to encourage you to remember is that we need to think correctly about ourselves. And the truth is that if Elijah, a very godly man, could get to a place where he just wanted God to take him, if Moses, another very godly man, if David could get to a place where he felt like that, then absolutely you and I could end up in the same place. And the truth is that we shouldn't be shocked that when we don't get enough sleep, we don't eat right, and we have tremendous pressures, we've gone through this season of heightened pressure, that we can end up in that place. That should not shock us. In fact, this is a common place that many Christians can find themselves in. And the truth is that we need to remember that every time we come to the Bible, there is background noise that affects our ability to clearly study it, understand what it's saying, and properly apply it. It's almost like you're sitting in a room, like right now I'm in my house and there's noise going on around me upstairs, and those things can be distracting. Just trying to study and do work when you have a lot going on around you is tough. Well, the same is true when you have internal noise. And so we need to understand that things like our culture, things like the fears that we're dealing with, sin that we harbor in our hearts, pressures that are going on inside, maybe are not expressed, or external pressures, all of those things create challenges when we're coming to the Bible to read it. And so we need to recognize that, like these men who are very godly, we can end up in a position where we're struggling like they were. A second thing that we need to think correctly about is the Scriptures. We need to remind ourselves of the nature of God's Word. And it's by reminding ourselves of the nature of God's Word that we're in the right place to be able to properly study it. And ultimately, God can feed our souls when we're in those very difficult times. So let's go together to Psalm 19, because in Psalm 19, we're going to see several statements that talk about the nature of Scripture and how the Scripture's nature ultimately impacts how the Scripture affects us and changes us. And as we look at these verses, I think that reminder will be very, very good for us. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 8 says this: "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." And when we see that phrase, converting the soul, the idea is this is a tool that God uses ultimately to change us, to take us from where we are today, where we need to change. And that's the tool He uses to mold us and shape us and turn us in the direction that we need to go. It also says that the testimonies of the Lord are sure, and it's to make wise the simple. The idea is that this is the tool that God uses to give us wisdom. So when we're going through difficult times and we need to have change in our lives, it's the Scriptures that brings that change. When we're going through times in our life where we desperately need wisdom, it's the Scripture that God uses to be the tool to give us that wisdom. He also says the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And so when a person is discouraged and they feel weary and they feel like they can't go forward and they have this feeling of despair, the way that God reaches into that person's heart and strengthens them and enables them to move forward is through the Scripture. It's what He uses to rejoice our heart. And the last thing that I'll mention here is that the Word of God is also the tool that God uses to give us clear understanding. He says that the commandments of the Lord are pure and they enlighten our eyes. In other words, it's the Scripture that God uses to help us to see things clearly that prior to our interaction with God's Word, we were not able to see clearly. So when a person is in that discouraged position, kind of like an Elijah or a Moses or a David, or maybe like you might feel right now, The truth is that the primary tool that God uses to bring us to joy, to bring us to have clarity, to give us wisdom, to give us a change in our heart and our thinking, it's His Word. And so if we neglect His Word, those things that we desperately need are not going to be done. And if we get into the Word of God, we are putting ourselves in front of the tool that God uses ultimately to do that. A second thing I'd like to bring under this issue of remembering to think clearly about God's Word is that God's Word will not fail to accomplish the purpose that God intended for it in our lives. In fact, He says this in Isaiah 55. It says, "It shall not, the Word of God will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." And so we may feel when we open up our Bible and begin to study it, that in that process of studying it, God will not minister to our soul. We may feel that way, but the reality is if we will read the Scripture, we are being in a position where God is going to take His Word and it's not going to return void. He's going to use it to accomplish a sanctifying purpose in us, and we need to keep that in our minds constantly. You know, I think about the power of the Word of God, and look at a person who is not a Christian. They're not seeking the Lord. They're not trying to figure out how they can be reconciled to God. They're just going about their daily lives. And God's Word is not on their heart. Eternity is not something that they're considering. And all of a sudden, God brings His Word to bear on that person. Maybe they receive a gospel tract. Maybe they're sitting in a service. Maybe they turn on the radio and they just happen to come across something. God has ways of getting His Word to that person. And here's a person who's not seeking the truth, but God puts the truth before them, and it powerfully impacts them. That's the power of God's Word. God has the ability to accomplish what He wants to accomplish when His Word is being presented. And so we need to remember to think correctly about ourselves, about the Scriptures in a time like this. And then a third thing that I want to encourage you with is I want to encourage you to follow the examples given by godly people in the Scriptures who experienced the same kind of thing. And I want to encourage you to look at Psalm 119 as an example of how we should approach the Scriptures. In Psalm 119, and it's the longest psalm that we have in the Psalms, we have a lot of Scriptures that really tell us about the heart of a person who wants God to speak to them through His Word. He wants God to minister to their soul through His Word. And let me give you a couple of things that we see in that passage. The first thing that I think we need to do is we need to confess to God our need, that we desire to see Him minister to us through His Word. You know, when we feel overwhelmed and we feel like we're picking up our Bible and we can't understand it because we're overwhelmed by all this external or internal noise, we need to just communicate that to God. We need to just pour out our heart and say, God, I am overwhelmed right now. I need You to minister to my soul through the Word, and I'm going to obey You. I'm going to pick up my Bible. I'm going to read it. And through that, I'm asking You to work in my heart. Notice what the psalmist says in verse 28. He says, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word." That is a description of a person who is overwhelmed emotionally. His heart is melting with heaviness. And he just says, God, strengthen me through the word. I'm going to read the Scriptures. I'm going to study. I'm going to meditate on the Scriptures. And You're the one who has to help me to understand it and internalize it. In verse 37, he says, "Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity." The idea is that there are so many things around me that are clouding out my ability to have a clear studying of Your word. It's not that I'm overwhelmed by emotional struggle. I'm distracted by vanity, the things around me. And I'm asking You to help me to turn away from those things so I can focus on Your word. Verse 107, he says, "I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me according to Your word, O Lord." The idea is that the psalmist is saying, I am dealing with so much pressure. I am being afflicted by circumstance or by individual. And I'm pleading with You, please help me through the Scriptures. We have another example, verse 124. He says, deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. And basically the psalmist is saying, God, I need you to look down at me with compassion and help me to understand your word. When we feel overwhelmed, I think we need to start in that place where we are expressing to God our need and we open up our Bibles, but we start in that place. A second thing we need to ask God is to help us to open our understanding as we read the word. God is the one who is the author of the scripture. He is the ultimate interpreter of the scripture. He is the one that takes the truth as we read it, internalize it, and he presses it into our souls. When we talk about illumination, we're saying that God takes the truth and he causes it to impact our hearts. He causes it to resonate in our souls, to change us. We need to ask God to do that when we read the scriptures. Not that he is going to look up what words mean and he's going to give us the context without us thinking through it. But as we do our work in the study of the scriptures, then God is going to make that impactful. And so the idea is, the psalmist says in verse 18, he says, open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The idea is they're there. I should be able to see them, but because of everything going on, the noise, internal, external, I need you to remove the veil and make it clear to me and impact my heart with it. And we need to ask the Lord to do that when it comes to studying the scriptures. The third thing I'll mention is this: purpose to read the scripture, trusting God to work through his word in your heart, even though you might feel troubled. And when I encourage you to read, notice what he says in this psalm, verse 16. He says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Verse 32, I will run in the way of your commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. The idea is that the psalmist not only prayed, but he purposed, I am going to put that book in front of me. I'm going to read it. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to be consumed by it. Even though I'm struggling, as I cry out to God, I'm going to obey him. I'm going to put his word in my heart. And I do want to encourage you with this. I'd encourage you to read the Bible systematically. Don't just pick a scripture. When you're feeling overwhelmed, don't just, you know, flip in your Bible and pick a chapter and start reading it. The truth, that's a very dangerous way to read your Bible. You're not going to get the context. You're not going to understand the setting. You're not going to understand the flow of the book. I'd encourage you, just establish a systematic process of reading your Bible day by day, day in and day out, chapter by chapter, where you begin to understand the whole flow of the book. And all of a sudden, there'll be certain things about the context that you begin to understand that you wouldn't have understood before. And one of the things I would like to actually do is have a devotional time from time to time where I'll actually pattern that kind of a thing, where we'll read through a passage of scripture and we'll jot down some thoughts. But what I would encourage you to do is read book by book through the Bible. And as you do that, you will find that when you are in a time of great need, God in his providence, his goodness, is going to have you in places in his word where he's going to minister to your soul. You're going to feed off of the scriptures. And it is ultimately his providence that puts you in that place at that time. And so I would encourage you to read the Bible in that kind of a way. And you will understand context and purpose much better if you're systematically reading the Bible. But purpose to read it. Fourthly, purpose to meditate on what you've read. It's not just asking God to open your eyes and to help quiet your soul and remove the noise so you can focus. It's not just saying, open my eyes, remove the veil so I can understand the things that are in your word. It's not just purposing to read it, but it's taking another step. And that step is that you're going to meditate on the scriptures. In other words, you're going to try to digest the truth that's there. As you read it, you're going to think about it deeply. You're going to remind yourself of those truths over and over and over again. And what will happen is, as you are meditating on the scriptures, it becomes a part of you. You begin to internalize the truth. And as you internalize the truth, you'll begin to be shaped by the Bible. It'll shape your thoughts, your emotions, your desires, what you want to do and don't want to do. That's an extremely important thing. And we see that in this passage. In verse 15, he says, I will meditate on thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Verse 48, he says, I will meditate on thy statutes. And so he's not just reading, he's digesting what is there. The last thing I'll mention is this. Remember that stressful times are often tools in God's hands. When we're under stress, it's not outside of God's control. He's using it for a purpose. He has a reason that he allows us to go through those things. And what happens often is in those times of pressure and stress, we begin to pull away from the places we need to be. We remove ourselves from God's people. We remove ourselves from the church. We stop reading the scriptures. We spend less time in prayer. We withdraw from the means that God uses to mature us and to change us and to shape us. And we need to do the opposite. In those times of difficulty, we need to flee to Christ. We need to flee to the scriptures. We need to be around other Christians. God's word should be our delight, and our we should be on our knees in prayer. And so in Psalm 119:71, it's interesting what the psalmist says. He says, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And the idea is that he understood that he could learn the scriptures to a greater level, on a deeper level, because of what he went through. That those pressures that he experienced allowed him to read the Bible, and in his reading and meditation, God was able to press those truths deeper into his soul than had he not gone through those trials. And so if you're feeling discouraged and frustrated, I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Take these little truths, these principles, and seek to apply them. And I want to encourage you, if you want to reach out to me with a question, if there's a topic that you would be interested in hearing discussed, please do reach out. You can reach out through Facebook. You can reach out through the office email or through my Pastor Porsche email address. All those things can be found on anchorbaptistonline.org, our church website. And I just want to say thank you for joining us tonight, and I hope that this will have been an encouraging study for you tonight.